This show is called Live and Local. It's your performance connection. I'm Kevin Kelly. And on the program today, later on, I'll be talking with Ilana James of the Hot Club of Cowtown. They're based in Austin, Texas. And they're coming to our area Saturday and Sunday for performances in Bloomington and in Urbana. And we'll tell you more about that later and hear samples of their work. Also, I'll be talking with Michael Now, who is one of the two driving forces of a band called Cotton Jones, kind of an indie folk pop group, who are going to be at the Canopy Club in Urbana with a couple of other bands tonight on the U of I campus, University of Illinois campus. I hope you'll stay tuned.
Dreamed I was a wheel, so I rode you on, sailed the silver eyes of morn, through a long, outrageous sun, spit out from the glory light, into the by and by. Which was the morning railway, with the coal carts passing by. By then a royal spring had sprung, all in perfect rows. I would have loved to meet the gardener, said thanks for all the seeds he sowed. When I dreamed I was a wheel, rolling you along on the silver eyes of morning, on the silver eyes of morning, in a song.
Dreamed I was alone, 60 minutes short.
We just heard a tune called Glory Light and Christy from the band called Cotton Jones, and it comes off of their still pretty new LP called Tall Hours in the Glow Stream. The band leader is Michael Now, and he's on the phone with us right now. They're going to be playing tonight at the Canopy Club in Urbana with a show that starts at 10 o'clock with a couple of other bands, and then they come on eventually. The doors will open at 8 o'clock. And they're in Chicago at the moment, and we'll be making it down our way sometime today. When did you start this band, and how does it relate to your previous band called Page France?
Well, we've been doing Cotton Jones for about 3 years now, and you know, I think it kind of there's a lot of similarities, but a lot of differences from Page France. I think it comes from the same spirit and the same desire to make music. A lot of the same people are involved in the live performance, but I think the songs are different due to like a natural progression and growth and understanding of what we're what we're about.
Do you write most of the songs yourself?
Oh yeah, and a lot of the music is written a collaboration with my wife Whitney, so we kind of come together and do it all.
What's the instrumentation in the band? I mean, just listening to these to the recordings here, it sounds, well, it's a little bit difficult to determine because there's a lot of sort of psychedelia that goes on. Who are folks actually going to see on stage?
Well, in the live setting, it's a lot bigger sounding, a little more up tempo and that sort of stuff. And I think that just kind of naturally happens when you're performing something live. Whereas the records, you can kind of pick a tempo and stick to it.
So you're on vocal much of the time and guitar.
Yes.
And then Whitney is also vocal and what?
She plays keys.
She's on keys. And you have a drummer and bassist.
Yeah, and on this tour, an accordion and an electric guitar and tuba and trombone.
There's a really interesting mix in the sound, including the recordings have a lot of reverberation, almost in a, I'm going to get my decade wrong, but there's a lot, it seemed to me, a lot of elements in 50s music that shows up in here in
sure.
various ways. Is that a conscious thing?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I like soul records from the 50s and 60s. So I suppose that comes through, but a lot of that is just using our recording gear to the best of our knowledge, and at the end of the day, hopefully, giving the song the best presentation to tape, I suppose a lot of that comes through. Sometimes the reverb kind of serves as a mask, sort of hides imperfections, and that's something we've kind of done, in the past, and we're kind of slowly becoming more comfortable with recording songs and having them sound a little bit more raw.
What also gives it almost sort of a dreamlike quality in a way, like it sends things back into the imagination. I mean, at least for me, it, without really being able to think of a specific time frame, it almost makes me think that I've gone back in time somewhere. And I wondered if your songs, the lyrics of your songs, reach back somewhere as well.
I suppose a lot of the songs are very dream based or visual. A lot of the songs that I write, they're fragments of time and memories that kind of come together and mix up into one song. And so there's a lot of especially on the newest on Tall Hours, there's a lot of nostalgia in each song, I think.
You said there's a sort of a dreamlike quality to some of them. Do you ever transcribe dreams that then end up in songs?
It always kind of happens different. A lot of times, a dream or a vision that I have kind of hit me a little later, and it's something that I can't really explain. Or sometimes I just have a weird connection to it. It's hard to explain. I, I always just wish that I could, you know, make something happen more so than just kind of waiting to connect with a vision or a thought or a dream that I have. But it's just, you know, it just hasn't worked that way for me, and so I just kind of do it as I can.
Well, then the songs wouldn't be you. They'd be somebody else. What about this song, Egg on a Sea? Just the title on its own is interesting and seems like it one of those absurdities that show up in dreams.
Just kind of, you know, I went through a period where I just wasn't sleeping. And, you know, I remember writing lyrics to that song one morning, like 5 in the morning. You know, it's... I don't know. I think it's a song that sort of just has a nice some lines that are full of nice imagery and I don't know. It just kind of came out. And I like the playful quality in it. You know, the terminology is pretty playful, and it feels, you know, to me it's kind of actually a heavy song thematically, but sometimes I can connect with it a little better if it's not as self-absorbed.
That's fine. Let's give it a listen. It's Egg on a Sea from the, just released EP called Sit Beside Your Vegetables on Suicide Squeeze Records. The band is Cotton Jones, and our guest is Michael Now here on Live and Local. Cotton Jones is going to be at the Canopy Club in Urbana tonight. Doors opening at 8, show at 10. They're also along with Common Loon and The Leadership, the other bands on that show. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. The tune was called Egg on a Sea, the band Cotton Jones, and my guest is Michael Now here on Live and Local. Michael, I see that you're from Cumberland, Maryland?
Yes.
Which is not too, well, it's a couple of hours from where I'm from, so Chambersburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, and yes, sir.
I actually go through Cumberland twice a year on my way to and from home around Christmas time, and I have this memory of Cumberland when I was a kid going to swim meets, because when I was on the YMCA swim team and mostly hating it, but nonetheless, we would go on swim meets. And Cumberland at the time had a really good swim team, so we would always take this long drive and inevitably lose the meet. But I also, it's a really picturesque part of the country in the Appalachians there. What's your experience growing up there? What is the glow stream that shows up in the name of your most recent LP? And how does that setting figure in your songs?
Well, you know, Cumberland, as far as the places that I've traveled, Cumberland is not really anything like any of those places, you know, from a visual standpoint. And the glow stream to me is just kind of a, you know, it's not the specific name of a place. It's just kind of represents a specific time and that I kind of gathered a lot of things about, you know, about maybe who I am and where I've come from. And there were some brief moments of peace and clarity that that appeared in that time. You know, you can't always hold on to it, but I don't know. I thought it was a nice little term. It kind of represents a specific place to me, but you know, that place doesn't really exist for you know, in a physical way for anybody else. It's not like a specific location. You know, that it's not the name of a stream or anything. It's just kind of yeah, somewhere that I would go to kind of gather
a mental state
writing for a record, sure. And I think that, you know, as a title that kind of came after the record was recorded that I thought kind of best suited the group of songs.
Yeah, Tall Hours in the Glow Stream is the name of the LP. And I wanted to play another song from there. Having a little trouble choosing one, actually. I thought actually we might play one that's all instrumental, or at least non-vocal. I'm not sure how you say it. It looks like the author Goethe and then somebody, something Neighbors, spelled in a funny way, or is there another way to pronounce that?
No, yeah, that is how you pronounce it. There's a street that's you know, minus the Neighbors. There's a street nearby where I live in Cumberland, where I grew up in Cumberland.
Before we hear it, the effects, is it actually somebody drumming? It almost sounds like it's largely synthesized. Is it a combination of those things?
I think it's actually it's definitely my buddy Jeremiah played drums on it, and I think it was kind of sped up a little bit on the tape machine, and then we put the rest of the music over it. There's a lot of things going on in it, and I don't really recall exactly without listening to it what all is going on.
Well, it was a lot of fun for me to hear, and hopefully our listeners will find it so as well. Goethe Neighbors, the name of the piece from Cotton Jones, who are going to be at the Canopy Club in Urbana tonight. It's Live and Local. Thank you. That was called Goethe Neighbors. It's an instrumental from Cotton Jones' newest complete release called Tall Hours in the Glow Stream. There's a more recent EP called Sit Beside Your Vegetables. My guest is Michael Now of Cotton Jones, and they're going to be at the Canopy Club in Urbana tonight. Before we go, I wanted to ask you about a couple of names. First of all, the name of the band, where does that come from? And then second, the name of the EP, Sit Beside Your Vegetables, is just kind of a funky idea.
Well, the name of the band, it was called the Cotton Jones Basket Ride, and I don't really know where that name came from. It was just something that, you know, I was recording under for a while, and then, you know, somehow it got shortened to Cotton Jones. I don't really know. There's not a lot of reason for the names of the things that we do, as far as the names of the bands or anything like that. No. So yeah, that's just a name. The name of the record or the EP is Sit Beside Your Vegetables, and Whitney and I recorded that after a lot of touring on the Glowstream tour cycle, and it was just nice being home. It felt good to just relax and, you know, sit around and kind of reconnect with a lot of things that are kind of just growing up around you, and, you know, in your home spot. And you know, it's sometimes when we're on the road, just constantly moving, you know, you pass all these beautiful places, but you never really get to stop and touch anything, or I don't want to say you don't get to enjoy it, but I guess you really don't. You know, you're just kind of passing by everything on the road, just watching it, wishing that you could kind of take some time. We got settled into a new place at home, and it just felt really good to just be there.
And sit beside your vegetables.
We had a tour kind of, you know, in like coming up, and so it was this feeling of, oh, you know, we get to rest for a short bit here, but then we got to go again. And now it's just a nice moment of peace.
It's a different way of saying nice to be home with the cat and the kids, if you had cat and kids, I guess.
Sure,
just
sure.
Sit beside your vegetables. I like that. It's Michael Now of Cotton Jones, and you can go hear him at Canopy Club tonight. The doors will open at 8 o'clock, and the show starts with a couple of other bands called Common Loon and The Leadership, and they'll get on there eventually. The show itself starts at 10 o'clock. For more information, you can go to, I think it's canopyclub.com, but it could also be just .org. And we're going to go out with a tune from the Tall Hours in the Glow Stream LP. It's called Man Climbs Out of the Winter. And Michael, thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. dress. I love to watch you walk around the room. You love to watch me sit around. At best. Oh, but the sun's burning up a window, begging us to come outside. Maybe
Climbs Out of the Winter was the name of the tune by the group called Cotton Jones, who will be at the Canopy Club in Urbana. Doors open tonight. Doors opening at 8 o'clock. Show starts at 10 o'clock with two other bands included on that show. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And coming up in just minutes, we'll be having some music from the Hot Club of Cowtown and a conversation with the trio's fiddler, Alana James. They're going to be twice in our area this weekend, Saturday, at the GLT Summer Concert in downtown Bloomington, and then on Sunday, presented by the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana. Our programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible with support from the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, presenting Romeo and Juliet, Winter's Tale, and the complete works of Shakespeare, abridged, from June 23rd through August 7th at the Ewing Manor in Bloomington. Ticket information is available at thefestival.org or 309-438-2535. We just heard a tune that may well be familiar to many of you. It was to me, New San Antonio Rose by Bob Wills and the New Texas Playboys, one of his very first hits. And the reason I'm played that tune for you, is that a group that has taken a lot of their inspiration from Bob Wills is going to be in our area twice this weekend, the Hot Club of Cowtown, based in Austin, Texas. They're going to be in Bloomington on Saturday and in Urbana on Sunday. And with us is the fiddler of the band, Alana James, also one of the two main vocalists. And appreciate your joining us on the show.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
So for those who don't know much about Bob Wills, as I did not before Googling him yesterday, other than finding out I knew some of the songs, who is he and why and how has he inspired the Hot Club of Cowtown?
Well, like you, I didn't know who Bob Wills was either. I mean, I grew up in Kansas City, and I had only vaguely heard his name, but I did discover him a little bit after college, and he was a very, very charismatic Texas band leader, and he was one of the sort of grandfathers of this sort of uniquely Texas and very American style called Western Swing, and it was really pretty much typified by playing pop big band standards of the day, but using this sort of Southern country Western instrumentation. So you'd have triple fiddles and a steel guitar, but you'd be playing, pop hits from the 1920s and 30s, but he himself was a fiddle player, and he modeled a lot of his singing style after Emmett Miller, so he had a lot of vaudeville influence, but Western Swing itself used a lot of influences from like waltzes and, you know, blues, Louisiana music, early jazz, hot jazz, fiddle tunes. So for instrumentalists, which, you know, of course the band is a trio, but we love, there's an endless source of enjoyment in mining the repertoire of, you know, what Bob Wills put on the map.
I read somewhere that for a while he actually had a virtual big band with a bunch of horns in the band as well.
He did have horns later, but the main thing about Western Swing is that you'd have like these fiddles that would be playing essentially horn parts. And like after World War II, as he got, you know, more well known, he added different aspects to the band like that. Although our interpretation of his music is definitely on the early side when he was still doing these small hot combos, and there were a lot of people doing that, like Milton Brown and Cliff Bruner, who were also Texas band leaders that started out in the 1920s, and they all came from a rural background, and they would play not quite jug band music, but, you know, these very primitive small combos, you know, like just violin, guitar, upright bass, and it was hot and very exciting.
Well, since you've used the term hot, that, of course, is in your name, Hot Club of Cowtown. And in addition to Bob Wills, I understand that you have taken a lot of influence from the Hot Club of France, Django Reinhardt, Stefan Grappelli. How does that mix in with Bob Wills and sort of for this Western swing cowboy sort of thing?
Well, it's really a seamless blending of the two. I mean, Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli, of course, were also playing in the 20s across the Atlantic, and they were based in Paris, so they did also a lot of a similar repertoire. They were playing pop standards, and I know that the people in the Wills band were familiar with Louis Armstrong. They were familiar with Django Reinhardt and Joe Venuti and other, you know, people who were playing during that era. So when I first heard the Hot Club of France, which was, of course, Stefan Grappelli, you know, and Django Reinhardt, I really couldn't tell sometimes if I was listening to Bob Wills or the Hot Club of France. I'm sure some people think that's like blasphemous, but the truth is that what those, you know, different styles share is like a virtuosic fiddle playing style and guitar style, and that it was dance music and very sort of irrepressibly happy with these simple melodies, but very exciting soloing and inspired playing. So they share actually a great deal.
So as the fiddler, you're kind of Bob Wills.
Well,
in the Bob Wills role.
Well, yeah, not exactly, though, because he was really, his extreme talent lay as a band leader, and he would always hire guys to play, I guess what he called hot takeoff fiddle in his band. So he had many guys over the years who were really the trademark sound, like Johnny Gimble, for example, who we're playing a show with tomorrow here in Texas. But, you know, Bob Wills was more of like a, he would do things like Faded Love or Maiden's Prayer, these slow ballads, and he would sing occasionally, but he left the singing and the hot playing to guys he would hire.
Well, since you've mentioned Maiden's Prayer, that happens to be on your new CD called What Makes Bob Holler. And all the tunes on here are Bob Wills tunes, is that right?
Yes, they're either songs that he wrote or ones that, you know, he somehow made famous with his band.
And this is called Maiden's Prayer, and it features Alana James on the fiddle, and the other members of your band, Whit Smith, the guitarist, who we talked with about a year ago when you were at the Folk and Roots Festival in Champaign-Urbana, and then bassist Jake Irwin, and we're hearing him on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
That was a tune called Maiden's Prayer is a tune actually by Bob Wills in this case?
Well, Maiden's Prayer, a lot of Bob's songs are sort of, who quite knows where they come from. Some people have said that, you know, that's one that he pinched from somebody else or kind of, you know, inverted, changed the bridge in the verse around. But, you know, he's known for that song, yes. So I think the publishing composer credit these days goes to Bob Wills. So.
And we're talking with Alana James of the Hot Club of Cowtown, from whose CD that comes. It's called What Makes Bob Holler, their most recent recording, paying homage to Bob Wills. And they're going to be twice in our area this week, this weekend, on Saturday at 6:30 at in downtown Bloomington, the corner of Center and Jefferson Streets. It's the GLT Summer Concert, which also features Mark Boone and Hip Pocket. They start at 5 o'clock, and then Carol in Wonderland at 8:30. And then on Sunday, they will be in Urbana, downtown Urbana, at the Independent Media Center, co-sponsored by the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, for whom they played early last fall.
Yeah.
And so this is sort of a command return performance. I was at that concert, and it was absolutely fabulous, and I loved the energy of the band and your fiddle work and Witt's guitar work, and I was astounded by Jake Irwin's bass work, partly because I'd never seen that kind of bass playing before. I've since learned that a lot of people do that sort of thing, but he seems to be, judging from listening to other people talk, he seems to be pretty well known.
He is definitely, other people do that kind of thing, but really there's only one person that plays like Jake. I mean, there is no one else like him. Really, it's incredible. He's an incredible bass player, and it's hard to describe, you know, over the phone, over the radio. People might be like, oh, so what can you do with a bass? But it is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, and he's a great showman, but I mean, it's not, you know, he's not like jumping up and down or sitting on the bass or spinning around. He just is playing it in a spectacularly unbelievable way. So it's inspiring for us, you know. I mean, when you have that going on in the band, it gives the other instruments and stuff things to bounce back off of, which gives it a lot of energy.
I don't know if other gigs are typical of what I heard last year, but every time he would do a solo, the house would just sort of break into an uproar. And does that make you guys jealous?
Oh no!
He gets
no
the
way.
Big applause.
No, God, I don't. I just think he deserves the big applause.
Well, I mean, I think it's. I'm guessing it's because it's for most people, it's an unusual sort of thing to see a bass player play that kind of different kind of virtuosity. You have a sort of virtuosity that is, I don't want to say it's more common, but there's a lot more fiddlers, it seems like.
Yeah, and
who
also
are
when you
prominent.
See the bass take a solo, I mean, there's actually like a physical, there's such a physical quality to what he's doing. It's almost like an athletic event, you know, and it has kind of a primal connection, I think, with the audience. Plus, when Jake solos, all the rest of the band drops away, so it's just the bass, and I think that there's like a lot of power and drama when you just feature one instrument, you know, for however many bars. It's cool. It is powerful.
Well, did you say athletic? Was that the term
yeah.
you used? Yeah. So he's got this, you know, he does this sort of heavy breathing and huffing and puffing and almost muscling the bass for a certain amount of dramatic effect, I guess.
No, I wouldn't say that at all.
He can't help himself.
He actually is just playing the instrument.
Yeah.
And when you play the instrument with energy and power, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen anybody breathe so much. Playing the bass.
Well, I mean, there are different ways to play the bass.
Yeah.
I mean, there's kind of a cool, laid-back, jazzy style where you're kind of walking up and down the neck, and then, you know, there's flat bass style, there's bowed style, you know, but, I mean, he's not trying to overdo it in any way. That's just how he plays.
Yeah, no, I didn't think it was overdone. I just, it was a lot of fun to see. Well, here, since it really is difficult to describe this style of bass playing, here's a tune from the Hot Club of Cowtown's new CD, What Makes Bob Holler. It's called Stay a Little Longer, and it opens with the bass, and there's a bass solo after a couple minutes. And the lead vocal is your guitarist, Whit Smith, with everybody else harmonizing. And it's a lot of fun. We're talking with Alana James, fiddler of Hot Club of Cowtown, before their appearances in our area this weekend. It's Live and Local.
down on Jimbo Nally. The number on the gate and the number on the door. The next house over is a grocery store.
Stay all night, stay a little longer. Dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull off your coat and throw it in the corner. Don't say why, don't stay a little longer.
The mill, 'cause the bridge washed out at the bottom of the hill. Big creek's up and a little creek's level. Plow my corn with a double shovel.
Stay all night, stay a little longer. Dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull off your coat and throw it in the corner. Don't see why, don't stay a little longer.
Slop bucket fell from the window up above. Mule and the grasshopper eating ice cream. Mule got sick, yeah, we laid him on a beam.
Stay all night, stay a little longer. Dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull off your coat and throw it in the corner. Don't see why, don't stay a little longer.
Biscuits, feed her cornbread. Girls on the big creek about half grown. Jump on a man like a dog on a bone.
Stay all night, stay a little longer. Dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull off your coat and throw it in the corner. Don't see why, don't stay a little longer.
The tune was called Stay a Little Longer. Again, another one made famous by Bob Wills, featuring in a couple of places bassist Jake Irwin with Alana James fiddle and Whit Smith guitar and vocals. And we're talking with Alana James here on Live and Local. The band's going to be in Bloomington on Saturday and in Urbana on Sunday. We'll give details again in a little while. So you founded Hot Club with Whit Smith.
Uh-huh.
How did that happen in the first place?
Well, we were both just kind of getting into this kind of music at the same time, and it was really like 1994. I was living in New York City, and he was living there, and I wanted to join a band, and I put an ad in the Village Voice. And I had been actually spending a lot of time out west. I had worked in Colorado at a guest ranch where I worked as a wrangler, and I had done a lot of like horse work in Colorado and started fiddling out there after playing classical violin and viola most of my life. And I came back into New York and really just missed that. So I was interested in doing something like that, and Whit saw my ad, and he started making me mixtapes of things like we were just talking about, Hot Club of France, Django Reinhardt, Stefan Grappelli, people like Steph Smith, who was an amazing fiddle player, also playing and recording at that time, and vocalists, of course, Mildred Bailey and Billie Holiday and early Bing Crosby and the Wills Band. And so, you know, we would get together and play fiddle tunes and stuff, and we started forming a band at that point, but it was too big of a band. It was kind of like a Western swing orchestra, and it was totally unsustainable. So we left New York eventually and started the Hot Club of Cowtown and put out our CD. The first CD came out in 98, so it's been about 15 years off and on that the band has been doing this, and it's been great. I mean, I just love this kind of music, and I feel like it's that thing. It's like if you love it, other people will love it too, and it is, to some people, it's an obscure style. I mean, bluegrass and mainstream country music are genres that really took over. Western swing has been a little bit left out over the years, but it's extremely vital, and that's why we've kept doing it this long, you know?
Well, I seem to have been, since hearing you guys last fall, I seem to have been hearing some other bands do it. That we had a band that was on our show. In fact, this bassist paid tribute to Jake Irwin. Pokey Lafarge and the South City Three. Do you know these guys?
I don't think so.
Well, they definitely know you, that's for sure. So your reputation
is I don't know who I know. I mean, I know people by face a lot of the time, but I think I have that, you know, like name face recognition thing is a little bit challenging for me.
Well, I suspect you'd know, if you had met this guy, you'd probably remember him, first the name, and second, he's almost, quite deliberately old-fashioned looking. But nonetheless, speaking of old-fashioned, I read that you guys make quite a point of staying old-fashioned, staying true to the roots and so on, not modern. It says actually in your bio for the group, refusing to modernize. What does that mean exactly?
Well, that's a good point. We're not like people who wear costumes and live in the past. And in fact, that only applies to, I think, the spirit of the music. The band often gets pegged as like, you know, this retro act. And in fact, it isn't retro. It's just a kind of music that is timeless and American that not enough people are doing. And I think in that sense, really what it means is that the spirit in which these songs were created, so many of these songs were beautiful. They were you know, crafted by people who spent tons of time, you know, fussing over songs and creating beautiful things, songs like, you know, Stardust or songs by Hoagy Carmichael. There's really not a lot of reason to camp those up or make them into something other than what they naturally are. And I think that's something that the band has shared, like an enthusiasm for kind of letting the song do its own thing. Of course, we write many, many of our own songs too, but, you know, we're just inspired by that era. But in the same way that lots of rock bands right now are inspired by like the early 1970s or the late 1960s, our inspiration comes before World War II, but because of the way, you know, American media and pop culture views things, it's as if, you know, we're kind of wearing prairie skirts and twirling around, which is couldn't be farther from the truth. You know, we love this kind of music. But I think it does scare certainly younger people, you know, that think like, oh my God, that sounds awful. So we really don't want to emphasize a retro element. It's like, you know, is bread retro because it's been baked, you know, for like thousands and thousands of years with the same ingredients? You know, I mean, some things are just timeless and excellent, and there aren't more people playing this music, so not enough people are familiar with it to, you know, describe it and promote it in different kinds of ways.
Actually, bread wasn't a bad analogy because it's only been in the last, I don't know how many years, that wheat bread came back. It was all white bread, and then now we've got all kinds of wonderful, old-fashioned, healthier-seeming bread. And so maybe...
Sure, right. I mean, it's all, you know, it's about language and perception and stuff like that. But, you know, the bottom line for us is that if you come out to the show, you'll have a good time.
I mean, that's for sure.
See people shuffle out glumly after the show. I don't know if I've ever seen that in all the time we've been doing it. So,
no, that was the show I was at. It was joyous from beginning to end.
That's great.
You mentioned that you got started really as a classical violinist and violist. At what point did you also become a vocalist?
Well, sort of out of necessity, but I've always sang, like I was always doing choir and stuff as a kid and being in the school musical, but for a while I was in the school musical in the pit, and then it occurred to me by my junior year that just because you play an instrument doesn't mean you can't be on stage, and actually that was probably a big revelation. So by the time I was a junior and senior in high school, I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to audition to be up there singing, and I think maybe that's where it started. But really, when this band began, we were really into just playing. It was just instrumental stuff is what drew us into it. But, of course, when you start performing and sculpting a show, you understand that, you know, people want to hear the words, and that's part of what completes the song. So out of necessity, Whit and I both started singing and writing and arranging and all those kinds of things, and it's been great. I mean, that's what's so fantastic about having your own band and working for yourself. You know, you just... the only one that's going to do it is you. So if someone needs to sing the song, it'll be, you know, whoever's there to sing it.
There's only three of you, so
yeah.
It sort of narrows it down.
Yeah.
Although I guess Jake doesn't do much of the singing.
No, but he does all the, you know, background vocals with us, and he sings a song or two of his own, you know. But when Whit and I write our own songs, we tend to sing them ourselves, and we've been writing more and more. This record is an exception. This record is kind of an anomaly because it's purely Western swing, but most of our material. It's, you know, gypsy music and standards and fiddle tunes and stuff we write that is kind of, you know, draws on all those ideas.
And of course, because it's the new CD, I'm focusing on, we're just playing tunes from there. But as you said, the show on Saturday and Sunday, that both shows, I'm sure will mix it up from all the sorts of things you normally play.
Totally. And there are always people that come over and they're like, well, my dog wants her voice to be heard on the internet. but, you know, some people are like, which CD has the most Western swing or which one has a lot of the standards? So, you know, we do always, all of our shows are a combination of these different things. We wouldn't do just a Western show, and we aren't anytime soon going to do just a jazz show. We just mix it every time.
Well, we're playing just some Bob Wills tunes during the course of this conversation, but it'll be a lot of variety on the weekend. And we'll go out with one that features Alana James in her voice, a tune called Oklahoma Hills. From the CD What Makes Bob Holler with the Hot Club of Cowtown. They're going to be in downtown Bloomington on Saturday for the GLT Summer Concert, preceded by Mark Boone and Hip Pocket. That's at 5 o'clock. Hot Club of Cowtown starts at 6:30, Carol in Wonderland at 8:30. And then on Sunday, they'll be in Urbana at the Independent Media Center, co-sponsored by the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. And that show starts at 7 o'clock. Alana, thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Oh, my gosh, thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Many months have come and gone since I wandered from my home. In those Oklahoma hills where I was born, many a page of life has turned, many a lesson I have learned. While it feels like in those hills I still belong. Way out yonder on the Indian Nation, I ride my pony on a reservation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born.
You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Here's a look at some other events going on in our listening area you could go out and see and hear live. Jeff Poore and David Theis give a cabaret show at the Krannert Center's Uncorked program tonight in Urbana at 5 o'clock. The musical Cats is at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, Illinois, 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock today, and then continues through the weekend. It's Steel Magnolias, put on by a Country Theater Workshop in Cisna Park, 7:30 tonight through Saturday, and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. It's the CU Hard Bop Collective with Joan Hickey at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 to kick off the second annual Iron Post Jazz Festival. And Mitchell's Bluegrass and Gospel are at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tomorrow at 5:30. It's a Day in Hollywood, a Night in the Ukraine, put on by Act Theater Company of Gibson City at St. John's Lutheran Church in Anchor, Illinois, tomorrow night at 7 and on Saturday. And the West Coast Blues Ensemble, Chip McNeil Quintet, and Jay Sawyer Combo are all at the Iron Post in Urbana on Friday evening. The show today is made possible with support from Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLFM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.
And those Oklahoma hills where I was born, where the Plaquemines rolls and flows and the snow-eyed cotton grows. What feels like in those hills I still belong. Way down yonder on the Indian Nation, ride my pony on a reservation in the